yelling at me back there to turn my mic on, and that old crew for their devotion this morning and for taking part in this service. I want to say it's an honor and privilege to be able to stand before you this morning, and I owe it all completely to the Lord Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit and His wonderful Word. Do we all truly and fully understand that this is God's inspired words to us and how important it is to each one of our lives? Gives us guidance through all kinds of problems and situations, but it also, building up to what I'm going to talk about today, is sanctification. It has such a big part in sanctification and why sanctification is so important. So I just want to want us to understand that and why it is so important. So my sermon today is on sanctification and its role in a believer's life. By it, we learn the truth, what sets us free. Sets us free from what? Sin. Sets us free from death. Let's read. I want to read. I'm going to take it from Colossians 3, 1 through 17. So I'm going to begin by reading that. My Bible says, not carnality, but Christ. So starting in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Colossians, I read, "And then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are from above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and love and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." That's a real mouthful, isn't it? How are we doing with that? Okay. 1 John 6:1-10 tells us we must live a holy life to have fellowship with God. If we say we have fellowship with Him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. As a believer, you know who you are, so walk worthy. I'm going to read from Galatians 5:22-25 here. Give us a little more insight in this. Galatians 5:22-25, where it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. One of the most fundamental things in our lives is having a relationship with our Lord and Savior. I cannot tell you how important this is. Always walk out. Always remember our belief, faith, spiritual wisdom, sanctification, repentance, and salvation are from God. So to set the tone here, it's important for us to give credit where credit is due. Do not shortchange the holiness of God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, how important it is. We as weak humans, sinners, can sometimes tend to do that, and that's not where we want to go. We understand all this. As we understand more and more in sanctification, we come to understand is more and more about the holiness of God. There's a lot of things that I don't believe as Christians can fully get a grasp on, is that holiness and also God's love. We base sometimes love on earthly love. It's entirely different than God's love. So it's important we have that relationship so we understand when we talk about the love of God, we're talking about it from the right perspective. So, it is a doctrine of grace that leads not only to salvation, but also to spirituality and sanctification. Not of ours. In other words, we can't do it on our own, can we? When Scripture tells us, through Christ, I can do all things. We all believe that? According to His will, when we ask, if it's within His will, He will provide. Sometimes not always exactly the way we think, but He will provide. He promises to do that for us. We are to cultivate our salvation through His Holy Spirit and His Word, which is a mirror to reflect and conform our Christian belief, faith, and sanctification. So, talk about looking at ourselves in the mirror. What he's talking about here is we look at ourselves through the Scripture. How do our lives correspond with the Scripture? How are we living according to the Scripture? Hebrews tells us, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. By sanctification, we can be of this mindset. Okay. That's another thing we can talk about a little bit. I'm not going to get into it so much today, but when we talk about the fear of the Lord, you heard different people talk about, I don't have a fear of God at all. I have a fear of the Lord, but I'm not. It doesn't terrorize me, so to speak. It doesn't. There is a proper fear of the Lord, having a proper fear of the Lord, and I think it's important that we do understand that, but you don't want to mess around with God's wrath. When it comes to fearing God, that's one place I tremendously fear Him, because His wrath is something to behold. So that could be a subject for another day. But so let's get back to Colossians here, and I'm going to talk about verses 1 through 4. And they tell us, since you have been raised with Christ, we also died with Him. In other words, we died to the old self and have been raised up, resurrected, before we have a new life hidden with. Therefore, we have a new life hidden with Christ, in Christ, since Christ. So, what's that in reference to? Of course, it starts out with our belief through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what it's really referencing here, too, is what we like to talk about in here when we talk about born again. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and you must be born again. This is what we're referencing here, too, is when you understand what Christ did for you and you accept Him and you put your faith and trust in Him, you receive a new heart, a new spirit. The spirit we were born into is no longer with us. We have a new spirit. We have Christ's spirit in our heart. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. So, therefore, there are some imperatives we need to follow. First, we must set aside the old self and become a new person. We are alive in him, so we can understand spiritual truths, realities, blessings, and the will of God. They are the privileges and riches of the heavenly kingdom at all believers' disposal. Paul called them things from above. I just want to touch on that a little bit. Again, we're getting back to how much we owe God. We can understand spiritual truth, realities, blessings, and the will of God because of what? We just talked about. We have a new what? A new spirit. We were given the power of the Holy Spirit so we can understand these things. Remember, that's what he was telling the disciples. I'll give you a helper. He's talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit. I look at my around the world a lot of times and I shake my head and I say, what's wrong with those people? They don't have the Spirit. They don't look at and understand like the God-given gift that I've so undeservedly received from God is the Holy Spirit. We can understand a lot of these things. They can't. So, what we do is we pray for them. Okay, so, things from above. What are they? Well, I'm going to turn to Romans 11, 33 and 36, because the Scripture can tell you a whole lot better than I can. So, Romans 11, 33 and 36 tell us starting in 33, oh, the depth and the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become a counselor? Or who has first given him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So in a short terms, what's that telling us? Nobody smarter, nobody wiser, nobody more righteous, nobody more just, nobody more gracious, nobody more loving. It all comes from God. All our blessings, everything that we have comes from God. Paul is declaring that all the riches of truth necessary for salvation, sanctification, glorification, found in Jesus, shows our need for Christ. Amen. Turn your life over to Christ. Let your life be guided by him. I was listening the other day a little bit to a sermon by Bodie Vachman. I don't know, some of you might have heard him occasionally, but it was really interesting. It really got my attention. He was talking about he used to live in the I world. And I thought to myself, where is he going with this? And he said, for too many years, I lived in the I world. It was me. It was all about me. All my decisions, everything that I did, I had control of. And then I realized that doesn't work. As a Christian, I work. It needs to be Christ first. We need to have his knowledge, his wisdom, his strength, in order to get us through this world. I look back at my own life and the times that I was doing the very same thing. And so often as I remember how that worked out, my dad used to famously say to me, how's that working out for you? Not so good. But I do remember the times when I was driven to my knees and came before Christ and pleaded with him to guide me in a decision that I had to make. And it was the right decision. So, this is what he's really talking about. We don't want to live in an I world. We want to live in a world of Christ. We turn our lives over to Christ. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. In other words, what it does is makes us what the Bible tells us we are, to become more Christ-like. It helps us to develop His character. And as we study this, and as we read earlier this morning about Christ, who He is, what He does, who cannot want to be like Christ? The process of sanctification begins the moment a sinner receives Christ, but is not completed until the Christian dies. We are babies at salvation and need to grow in the Spirit. In other words, what we were talking about, when we turn our life over to Christ and become a believer, we receive a new spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit in our heart. What happens when a baby is born? What do they know? What are they able to do? Who do they depend on? And remember, our old life is gone. We're starting new. And our mission and goal in that life is to become Christ-like, to become under the will of God and do the will of God. So we got to learn. It takes time. We're kind of thick-headed sometimes, you know. And so what we're talking about here, I think, is, again, born again. And remember the parable where Jesus talks about the potter and how he takes a lump of dirt, clay, and molds it into a valuable, usable piece of pottery. That's what sanctification is all about. We start out as that dirt or that lump of clay, and we allow Christ, by the power of the Spirit in His Word, to mold us into a vessel that He can use. Amen? It's God's personal work in a redeemed sinner. He chose us to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and belief in truth. All human efforts towards sanctification are useless apart from the work of God. Free grace is not free from cost, but it is free from human merit. You think you could ever be good enough to earn your way to heaven? Think you could ever be good enough to stand in front of God one day with a list that says, "Here, God, look at how good I was." Not going to work, is it? Praise God for free grace. We can't earn it. A Christian ought augurly to, excuse me. A Christian ought eagerly to cooperate in the process of sanctification by taking advantage of all means of grace that God has appointed to us in His Word. It was purchased by Christ's atoning work on the cross, and it is ensured through His ongoing intercession. Through Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, Christians become dead to sin and alive in God. In other words, sin no longer controls us. Now, talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. We're human. We have the God-given right to think. We have the God-given right to make decisions. One of the biggest distinctions we have to keep in mind with that is the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Spirit in their heart. They have their own guidance system, their own conscience, their own, and that's what they base their decisions on. We as Christians have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. We have prayer. We draw power and strength from that. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit is telling you, that's not a good idea, don't go there. At that point, we have the right to make the decision. If we make the wrong decision, whose fault is that? It's our own. Now, how does God deal with that? I think we all know. The Holy Spirit usually drives us to our knees, understanding we messed up and we need to be forgiven for that. And if it takes too long, God will get your attention. Take it from me. He will. He always has in my life. Okay, a Christian ought eagerly to Cooperate in the process of sanctification by taking advantage of all the means of grace that God has appointed in His Word. It is purchased by Christ's atoning work on the cross, and it is ensured through His ongoing intercession. I just wanted to repeat that because notice the word intercession. Christ is our what? In heaven. He's our intercessor, and He's at it all the time. And praise God for that, because we would be, again, in bad shape without Christ and without His intercession. Okay, I want to read from Romans 6, 1 through 14. I'm reading quite a bit of reading this morning, but it's great to spend time in the Scripture, and the Scripture can really tell it like it is. So I'm going to start in Romans 6, 1 through 14 here. And it says, dead to sin and alive in God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Here is a powerful statement of fact. We died with Christ and rose with Him. In doing so, we laid aside the old self and became a new person. This is the very basic fundamental indicative of sanctification. We are new people, reiterated in verses 9 and 10. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 17. Second Corinthians 5:14-17. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This verse says a lot about sanctification, so let's break it down a little bit. Verse 14 says that the love of God compels us. What Paul is saying is Christ's loving substitutionary death motivated Paul to serve Him. By Paul's love of Christ, he offered his life to Him. Are we? We see a great example of that in our study of Acts this morning, how the complete turnaround of Paul. God in His sovereignty chose Paul for that specific mission because of his attributes. It fit perfectly with what he was going to face. But he turned him around completely, and Paul became a totally devoted Christian and devoted to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Paul was overwhelmed with gratitude that Christ loved him and was so gracious to make him a part of his family, those who died in him. Do we? Think about the honor and privilege it is. I think about that so often. You chose me. Why would you choose me? For all believers, their death of Christ is not only a death of sin, but a resurrection to a new life of righteousness. Through the process of sanctification and regeneration, old value systems, priorities, beliefs, and plans are gone. We see sin and evil from a new perspective, our new spiritual perspective. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is a constant reality, and we live for eternity, not temporal things. It is faith that produces works. Do we need this? Absolutely. We learn to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. How many times have we heard, keep your eyes on things above? God needs to be first in our life. We need to understand how dearly and badly we need Him. All the blessings that we've received and all the blessings that unsaved people are receiving every day. I know there's a lot of problems in the world, and I understand that, and we have trouble. But God provided this earth, and He provided His blessings. He provided the air we breathe. He's provided the money that we have. He's provided our ability to work. He's given it all to us. It's all come from Him. And it spills over even to those that aren't His people. Talk about a loving, graceful God. Back to Colossians. God, by His sovereign grace, chose you to be in Christ. So when Christ died, you were spiritual in Christ and in the purpose of God. You died and you rose in His death and resurrection, so you are now alive in Christ as a new creation in union with Christ. Empowered to put off the old life, putting on the new righteous life through the process of sanctification, it is a progressive work of the Word and the Holy Spirit conforming us to the image of Christ. Scripture commands us to be sanctified as stated in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. It is His purpose, His will, and His design. So Ephesians 5:1 tells us to be imitators of God. Every pastor or anyone in ministry should have this as an objective. It's our calling to distribute the Word so the Spirit can do the work for the sanctification of God's people. We are to teach biblical wisdom so that they may be complete and mature in Christ. The Word and the Spirit do the work. God's responsibility. Oftentimes people get a little bit confused about this, but there's two main goals for our creation, and what is our duty? First of all, we are called we're called here to give God the holy, gracious love and grace that He deserves. We are actually a symbol. He created us in His own image. We're actually a symbol of His holiness. Can you imagine what it takes to create something like this and create? So the other is we're to spread the gospel. And through what I have just read, we come to understand the gospel. So we know the gospel that we're spreading. We're prepared to do that. But it stops there. We live according to the gospel. We live by the example that we set. But we do not bring people to God, bring people to Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's the inspiration of the gospel that we're spreading works in that. But we can't bring somebody to God. We can have an influence by the way we live and the way we spread the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to God. Don't ever forget that. I have relatives that are not saved. I know that. We probably all do. You can, if they're receptive to you, you can give them the gospel, but don't hound them to death. Okay. Hebrews 12:2 shows us the best way to do this is to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, which gives us perseverance. 2. Not to run the race marked out for us. We do not have to be uncertain about how to live godly lives because our Father provided direction by the Spirit and His Word. I want to read from 2 Timothy 3, 14, and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. Again, faith. We talk about faith. I have faith. Where did I get the faith? Gift from God. My faith without the Holy Spirit, not so good. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our objective should be to move forward in progressive sanctification through Christ's likeness by embracing the full knowledge of Christ as revealed in the Scripture, keeping our eyes on Him. We are transformed into His image. The love of Christ controls us. We do not love Him as He loves us. Excuse me. Do we love Him as much as He loves us? We have a new identity in Christ. He is all in all. He is the object of our love and worship. Our previous identities don't exist. We are in Christ and in the family of God. Verse 17 tells us, if the word of Christ dwells in you richly, it will work itself in our lives. That is a fact. Paul is a great example of this. He was so transformed that he lost all his hatred for Christ and vicious prejudice against Christians. He loves the one he hated, and he loves the people who loved the one he hated. As one in Christ, Christians are to collectively put aside their old sins of social prejudice, resentment, jealousy, racism, and hatred. In 1 John 4, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. We love each other because God is love. In verse 12, Colossians, we read, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. That's what I talked about. Those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. How marvelous is that, huh? Why shouldn't we be happy to love everyone else when we are so undeservedly loved by Christ? So, what is the personality of sanctification? In other words, what do sanctified people look like? They need to have a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. Remember what I said? It's a lifetime of work. Try doing that as works on your own and see how far you get. We need Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word for any chance at sanctification. The Bible points out every one of these virtues are a characteristic of Christ. So again, be like Christ. As believers created by and for Christ, we can only live for Him as we live by Him. So, we should do all things for Him. We are created to demonstrate the holiness of God. By free grace, we received Him, not by earning Him or purchasing Him. We as believers received Him as the Savior to redeem and sanctify us. We received Him into our trust as our life, our knowledge, our affections, and our understanding. As we receive Him, we look away from the self in this saving act of reception. This strips away everything like boasting and pride and causes us to be humble. Ever been humbled by God? Yeah, I can name you quite a few times. That's His love. That's why He does it, because He loves us. We should walk in Jesus as we received Him, gratefully, humbly, joyfully, effectually, unreservedly. In other words, give all. Song we like to sing once in a while, all for Jesus. When we receive Christ, He gives us the power to become the sons of God. He sanctifies us. Christ is all in all. Is He then all in your trust, our hope, our assurance, our joy, our aim, our strength, our wisdom? In other words, all in all. I want to read from 1 Corinthians here, starting in chapter 3. Where the good word tells us, starting in 19 through 23. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or all things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. So in closing, I'd like to remind us our Christian conduct comes through sanctification, which is, again, given to us by the grace of God, holiness, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So I'm going to read one more time here from John 17. Good old John 17. Starting in verse 16 and 23. Great words here. This is Jesus talking to His apostles before His ascension. They are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. It's Jesus' wish for believers to be sanctified by our love for Him. We also should wish it and be unified in it. Now, if the Word of Christ dwells in you richly, it will work itself out in your life. Let the Word of God have its marvelous influence on your life. It should permeate every aspect of a believer's life. Our thought, our word, our deed. The Holy Spirit fills the life controlled by His word, not an emotional experience, but a steady controlling of life by the obedience of truth of God's word. Ephesians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So sanctification doesn't save you. Got that straight? Sanctification does not save you. But by our faith and belief and trust in Christ, by His love, obedience, and redemptive work on the cross, what He did for believers, that's what saves you. That's a fact. So what I'm telling you here this morning is sanctification does not save you, but sanctification comes about because of your love for God and for Christ and for what He did for you. And you want to pattern your life after Him. You need Him in your life. It comes about because of our love for Christ. And how can we not love Christ for what He did? By His grace and love, He sanctifies us through the Holy Spirit, His Word, and our love of Christ to become Christ-like and develop the character of Christ. We must submit ourselves to God's code of conduct, which has an absolute standard by which to define right from wrong. We as believers are accountable to God's standard. We, by the grace of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and His wonderful inspired Word, become sanctified so that we live according to God's will. Jesus is still calling. Let's listen. Life in Christ gives believers a love for God and the things of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, forgive us, Lord, sometimes when we don't give You the credit that You deserve for the many blessings that we have in our life. Forgive us, Lord, when we try to go off on our own sometimes. We fail to listen to the Spirit. We fail to use the wonderful gifts that You've given us in our weakness. We just praise You and thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our intercessor, for being our Savior, for allowing us to be a part of Your flock. What a tremendous gift that is, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when we get to sometimes feeling sorry for ourselves and forget about we have something so joyful to look forward to, and that's to spend eternity with You, Lord. I ask Your blessing upon each one that's here this morning, and I thank You again for the honor and privilege of serving You. And again, we ask You be with our pastor, Lord. Help him to get back on his feet. We need him. Bless each one here this morning. And again, we praise You, Lord, for the awesome God You are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Charlie's going to play us a little music. Let's meditate a little bit on the Word this morning.